A Westchester County high school student was deported at the end of June. The case garnered national headlines and last-minute requests from the attorney for the undocumented immigrant from Ecuador to allow him to stay and earn his diploma from Ossining High School. I spoke with Ossining Town Supervisor Dana Levenberg about how the deportation might affect her community. Federal immigration officials denied two requests for 19-year-old Diego Puma Macancela to remain in the U.S. The high school student was arrested the day of his prom, one day after his mother, and after officials had denied an asylum request and issued a deportation order in November. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, denied the first request, citing the teen's alleged gang involvement in Ecuador. The second request contained a letter from the Ecuadorian consulate saying the teen has no criminal record in Ecuador and no current or past affiliation with any gang in the country. On the eve of Puma Macancela's deportation, Ossining Town Supervisor Dana Levenberg spoke about the expected impact on her community.
I think we were all so hopeful that we would be able to through the legal system, they would be able to find a way to get ICE to grant a stay so that Diego could graduate from high school. It's so important that I think our community feels like we can come together and support one another. We have a very diverse community in Ossining, and we do have many people who are here from Latin American countries. And this has been very, very difficult for everybody. You know, Diego was much beloved in Ossining High School, and I'm sure that this is like truly like mourning a loss for us, I think, of one of our students who wasn't able to go to his prom, wasn't able to graduate with his class, who put his time in to be a good student and to be a good friend to so many people in the community. And, it just feels like this is his repayment, which is not right. Obviously, there's lots of technicalities and there's lots of different things that happen in our legal system, and we want people to follow the law, and it's questionable, you know, what kind of advice people get over the years when they're coming here from other countries, if it was the right advice. And, you know, we've heard from some of the lawyers that he might not have gotten some good advice at the beginning, but people are all looking for a better life, and I think we're all together in that and trying to find a way for all of us to have a better life. So it's very difficult knowing that we all are immigrants, really, in this country, unless you're Native American, to hear that somebody who came here for a better life is now going to be sent back into a questionable situation in his country of origin.
Are you sensing, or have you had any feedback, that there's some fear in the community that others in Diego would have similar circumstances? You mentioned large Latin American community. You have a large Ecuadorian community specifically, too.
We do, yes. There's definitely fear. There's no doubt. There's fear that ICE is going to come back. It's not clear why somebody who didn't necessarily have any record of violent crime was targeted at this moment in time by ICE. Again, you know, there are lots of people who are on that list that it's not clear why this was the person plucked, or the two people, because his mom as well. It's not really clear why. And I think that really makes it harder for us to make sure our community is safe, because you do have fear of anybody in a uniform. You do have fear of government. You have fear of putting your name on, you know, registering for anything, whether it's a program that's going to help you or not. You have fear of doing things quote-unquote right way, the official way, because is that going to put you in harm's way? And I think that is the worst part of all of this, is not knowing now what is next. And we have to come together, work that much harder at building trust. And it's always building back, because these kinds of things knock us down in terms of how much trust people have in their government or people have in their law enforcement. And we need people to be able to trust us and be able to trust our police so that they can protect us from everyday kinds of occurrences that we don't want to happen, and really be there, whether it's domestic violence or any kind of thing. We want people to be able to feel comfortable reporting so that they are going to be safer and we can have a safe community.